Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1. All right. Wow. Amen. All right. Oh, I like that. Synchronized, what do you call that, Bibles showing? Anyway, I was impressed. Oh, yeah. Oh, you were, hey, you need to work with this guy right here. Who's that guy? Okay, either get with the program or don't do that. Well, I'm going to be traveling a little bit with this group that just sang this summer. Pray for me. Wow, I hope they have some more practice times. But anyway, just keep working at it. Especially Rocio. And I traveled with her last year, and it was terrible. I was never so glad to get home from tour. Anyway, all right, I'm just serious. And all right, let's see. There was a fire drill earlier, right? You know, I heard there was going to be one today, but I didn't expect it to be so early. I expected it to be when I walked to the pulpit. Turn your Bible. You know, that's what I figured it would be. But so. I'm pleasantly surprised about that. So, Philippians chapter 1, if you didn't hear me earlier while you were making all that noise, or if you didn't understand my sign language, which I didn't understand either, I probably cussed. I don't think I did. If I did, it was unintentional because I don't know how to cuss in sign language. I can do it in real life and not in sign language. Okay, I'm off to a bad start here. Well, Philippians chapter 1, verse 16, this is kind of a preface or foundation from my message here. We're not going to spend much time on this verse other than to read it and just say a few things about it as we kind of kick off the message here. But Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, when you got saved, Jesus began a good work in you. And now none of us are what we ought to be, and we never will be what we ought to be till we get to heaven. But God's working on us, and God's never going to give up on you. Now, you may give up on yourself. I may give up on me. I may give up on you. You may give up on me, but God's not going to give up on you as long as you're still breathing, all right? And I look at some of you, I wonder if you are still breathing. Can you shake that? Anyway, just keep that in mind. God is going to keep working on you. So if you fail, it's not because of God. It's because you just gave up, but God's still working on you. So realize that, and that's encouraging to me, actually. Because God is still working on me, believe me. Have you ever made a decision that you felt really strong about and then later on you had second thoughts about it? Yeah, we do it all the time. And most of the consequences are pretty minimal. How many like to eat out at a restaurant? Okay. We all have our favorite ones. You ever been to a restaurant where you haven't been before and you're looking at that menu? And it's really tense. I mean, if you think about it, you go home, you know, whatever mom, in my case, whatever the wife throws on the table, okay, I guess that's it. You know, there's no choices. It's just whatever plops on the plate. It's always good, though. My wife's a great cook. But you go to a restaurant, it's important because that's your meal for that hour. Well, for some of you, it's just one of the meals for that hour, but that's your meal for that hour. You don't want to waste it, right? You don't want it. You want it to be good. You want it to all that. So you're pouring over that menu. Oh, boy. And it really helps if there are pictures. How many like pictures in menus? Oh, I like pictures. Especially if you go to a Mexican restaurant. I can't read all that Mexican language. And what is this? I'm not even going to try to speak Spanish, but because I'll definitely probably cuss in that language. But and there's too many people that know Spanish. They would know that I did. But what's that? Oh, that's that. Okay. And you know, there's nothing worse than you know, it's like you pray about it, you get on your knees, oh, God, please lead me in this great decision. Let me choose the right thing. And you know, the waitress comes, you ready yet? Give me one more minute. And, you know, but you don't want to do it more than twice because they won't come back for like a month. There is a science to it. So you better be ready the second time. Anyway, just a little advice there. But so she comes back and says, I'm gonna take this. And so now when the pictures are there, you know, okay, If that comes back, okay, I'm going to be good. Okay, now that doesn't always come back. But anyway, the burger's like this on the picture, and then when you get it, it's like that. Anyway, But you get your food and you're sitting there and they put your plate down. Oh, yeah. And then you look at the guy's plate over here and it's like, oh, man. Boy, that looks good. Wish I got that. That's terrible. I mean, that ruins your whole day. Now, but it doesn't ruin your life in most cases because there's another meal coming late. Okay, so there's a lot more meals coming. So I remember I was went out with Pastor and a guest that was here at our church, and I was hosting the guest, and Pastor wanted to eat with us, so I said, great. So they picked up this Asian restaurant. I'm not even sure if it was Asian. It was one of those countries over there. Thai? No, it wasn't Thai. It was something, but it wasn't Thai. Duh. Anyway, so, you know, I was trying to recognize something and look at the names, and then I came across orange chicken. I go, Now, I've been to Panda Express. You still work there? God bless you. God's going to use you someday. Anyway, he's actually using you now. That's maybe the most he ever uses you at Panda, make it at Panda Express. Anyway. Okay. I'm just saying I like orange chicken at Panda Express. So I thought, okay, orange chicken ought to be good. So I get it, and it was good. And now, Pastor ordered something, kampai chicken, is that a thing? What? Humpai? Okay, I'm not even going to try to say it because I'll say something embarrassing. Anyway, it was some other kind of chicken. So Pastor ordered that, and the guest said, I'll take what Pastor has. I thought, ew. I'm my own man. I'm going to order orange chicken. Anyway, so I got the orange chicken. I was eating it, and the guest speaker looked over at my plate, and he goes, man, that looks good. I said, it is. He said, man, I wish I'd ordered that. So Pastor was there, and I'm you want some of it? He goes, you know, just courtesy. Yeah, I'll take some. Thank you. You're welcome. Then I was having second thoughts about eating at that restaurant with him. But those consequences aren't that major. Right? I mean, you can get over that, although I was crying for several days after that. But there are other things. Okay, there are some consequences that are inconvenient. Okay, how many have ever bought an outfit that you thought, wow, this is really good, and you wear it, and everybody goes, pfft. Or ladies, is this the worst thing? You go to a store, you buy a dress, and you wear it to church, and there's three other people with the same dress on. And then you're thinking, oh, I wish I hadn't worn that today. You're having second thoughts. Brother Ray Young, I taught all of his girls in high school. And how many know Jennifer? Used to be Jennifer Bailey, and she was married. She used to be here. Anyway, so my wife, that year, I had four sets of curtains in my classroom, and my wife decided to make new curtains. So she went to Walmart, and there was a southwestern pattern. It was really, really pretty. Well, pretty's not the word. It was manly. Anyway, but it was also pretty. And so she made all those curtains, put them in my room, first day of school. And so I'm in there, and Jennifer walks into class, and she stops, and her mouth drops open. Her mom had also found that pattern, that material at Walmart, and made her a dress for the first day of school. So she walks in, and like, oh, no. And it was rough, because whenever she'd stand up, I'd think, who's moving the curtains here? Like, oh, I said, welcome. And she was so humiliated. She never wore that dress again. And I feel kind of bad, but I saw her mom several years later, and I said, you remember when you made that dress for your daughter? I said, yeah, I worked hard on that. I said, well, my wife worked hard on those curtains, so, you know, get over it. No, I didn't say that. But so there are many times we make a decision or we do something, and we have second thoughts about it, and maybe we regret doing it. Now, there are some decisions that we make that have major consequences. And it's very dangerous to have second thoughts, okay? And I'm not going to talk about this today, but I'm going to mention it. A marriage, for example. A lot of people get married, and then after they get married, they have second thoughts about it. Now, that's not a horrible thing. In fact, a lot of people do that. My wife did it. Oh, she still does it. And I'm just kidding. It's not a sin to have a second thought about something, but it depends on what you do with it. Okay, with marriage, you don't say, I'm having second thoughts, so I'm going to go find somebody. No, you don't do that. You figure out a way to make things work, and that's what it's all about. That's what marriage is. All right? Now, there are some other things, and these are what we're going to talk about today that apply more to you as college students. And now I'm going to talk about three life-changing decisions that most of you have probably made that involve the possibility of second thoughts. And I'm going to tell you what they are, and then we're going to get into the message. The first one is your call to service. The second is your college selection. And then your third is your claim to salvation. And we're going to talk about all three of those today. And the title of my message is Second Thoughts. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'll help me today. Lord, I really want to be used, Lord, to be an encouragement, to be a help to the students today. Lord, please, I pray that you'll speak to every heart, including mine. Amen. Okay, so the first thing we're going to talk about is your call to service. When I was 15 years old, I was in a revival service, and God began to speak to my heart, and I didn't know what was going on because I never felt that way before. And so I just said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, God, I'll do it. God, you just show me, Lord. And my heart was just broken, and I surrendered to do the will of God that day. I didn't realize the significance of that, but that was the day that I surrendered to the call of God for my life. And praise the Lord, since that day, I've tried to pursue that. And I've failed a lot, and I haven't always been what I ought to be, and I'm ashamed. But from the day I was 15 years old in that revival meeting where God spoke to my heart about serving him, I made that decision. That was my call to service. Now, it makes the devil mad when you do that, and he's going to fight you. Sometimes he'll put other opportunities in front of you to distract you or take you away from what God did in your heart that day. How many of you, in some service, God spoke to you about serving him with your life? How many of you can point back to a service? Okay, that's most of you. All right? And you remember that day, and it stands out. Maybe it was at a youth conference. Maybe it was at a youth rally. Maybe it was at a church service. Maybe it was just you were by yourself, you were reading your Bible. But God spoke to your heart, and it was very evident that God did that. But I'm just telling you, Satan's going to put obstacles and opportunities in your way to try to distract you and take you away from that. I've seen students come to college here, and they get a good job, they start making good money, and then the boss says, hey, you know, we'll give you a promotion here, and you can do this. And you think, well, I'm going to be missing church if I do that, and I'm going to be, man. But they reluctantly do it because they see that big dollar sign there. And there are students who have come to college here, came here from some other state to go to college, and they end up getting a really, really good job, making good money, and now that's what they do with it. That's what they did. God, Satan used that to take them away from their call. And God called them. It was very plain. But then Satan came along, and they began having second thoughts. Maybe that's not what I was meant to do. Maybe that was just an emotional thing I went through during that service. You know, everybody was, you know, praying, and boy, there was the preacher was just yelling and screaming and beating the pulpit, and maybe it's just an emotion I got caught up with. You know, I'm not sure that was really a decision anyway. And boy, you start having these second thoughts about God's call to your life. Sometimes fame gets in the way. Now, that's not going to happen to most of us, but I remember a young lady here that went to college. She had an unbelievable voice, unbelievable. And, you know, when this was back when Brother Howes was pastor, of course, and we'd have pastor schools, and whenever they had a special that was the main one right before the main message, she was the one. And boy, she just had an unbelievable voice. And boy, just people just talked about, wow, you know, so great that, you know, here's a Christian that's using their talents for God. Well, it didn't stay that way. People heard her voice. Other people made suggestions to her, and she ended up leaving the college and leaving Christianity to go into the secular world of music. And I haven't heard from her, and she's obviously not famous because I would have heard of her. Well, most genres I would not have heard of her, just to put that in there, just if it was a Christian. Anyway. All right, but Satan will use what he can to get you away. You know, and then sometimes we get into this thing and we realize how difficult it is. You know, you come to college, everybody's going to college, Howells Anderson College. Man, that's the place to be. And you watch, you know, when the Dumbo tour groups came by, and I'm just kidding. When the tour groups came by and they sang in your church, and oh boy, I want to be like one of them. And boy, give me an application. I can't get there soon enough. And boy, it's exciting. And Howells Anderson College, and they give their testimony. And Howells Anderson College, God did this to me, God did this to me. You know, oh, it's just so wonderful. And then they come here and it is wonderful, but then they didn't tell you, the dirty liars. They didn't tell you about all the tough part. You mean I got to study? Some of you, that hit you right in the, I got to study? I thought it was just like, hey, praise the Lord, let's go sowing, and you know, hey, woo-woo. You mean I got to work a job and then come to school and all this stuff, go on a bus ride all weekend? Man. And it's more difficult than you thought. And then there's troubles. You weren't planning on having to, you know, that line that's in the hallway out there in front of the business office? That wasn't, they didn't talk about that. Why didn't you talk about that? Shame on you. Or worse yet, you didn't have enough money to even stand in that line. You stand in the line, I ain't got nothing to do with, hey, I'm broke, here's my empty pockets. You know, John Mark, the Bible says, now when Paul and his company had loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Why? Well, if you read back, and I won't take time to read it, but if you read back earlier in the chapter, they ran into some opposition. There was people that, the Bible says, withstood them. I got a feeling that John Mark wasn't counting on that. When Paul's tour group came by, they didn't explain that to him. And he thought it was going, hey, I'm going with Paul. Man, it's going to be great. Apostle Paul, yeah, that's me. Yeah, give me five, yeah. All right? And then, whoa, what in the world? No, I didn't know it was going to be like this. Boom, I'm out of here. And he left. Romans 11, 29, the Bible says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If God called you, he still wants you to do it. Now, you may not feel the exact same way you did in that moment when you surrendered, but God hasn't changed his mind about you. And if you're having second thoughts about that, go back to your first thoughts. Relive that moment. Think about what God did in your heart. I like this statement. Don't undo in doubt what you did in faith. Don't undo in doubt what you did in faith. The second area in which we can often have second thoughts is your college selection. Now, obviously, you have selected Hiles Anderson College. All right? I had planned to go to another Christian college when I was a teenager, graduated from high school. I already filled out my application. Then I came to youth conference, 1979. And you should have seen my chariot. It was beautiful. Anyway. But I came to youth conference, 1979, and God made it so plain to me. I mean, I was already going to this other college. It was close to my home. This was twice as far from my home in Kentucky. And God made it so plain, this is where you're supposed to be. I mean, I didn't hear a voice, but it was almost like that. That's how plain it was. And I just said, this is where I'm coming. And I made that decision. But guess what? Came to college here, and all those things they didn't tell me about, the college tour groups neglects to tell everybody, all those things started happening. And things started getting tough. And I started having second thoughts. Man, was I really supposed to come here? And it's interesting, second thoughts usually come, they don't come when everything's going well. They come when things aren't going so well. And during that time, I totally forgot about God's obvious leading to me during that youth conference. Totally forgot about it. Didn't think about it. Wasn't even in my mind. All I could think about is, man, why is that? What's going on? Man, I didn't know it was going to be like this. Wow, Lord, I just want to go home. Lord, this is tough. This is not what I thought it was going to be. That's why you need to be careful about making decisions when you're upset or depressed. That's not the time to make a decision, because it'll probably be a bad decision. Man, I quit, or I'm going to do this, or I'm off the bus route, or you know, don't do that. That's a bad time to make a decision, because it's probably going to be a wrong decision. Again, if you have second thoughts, go back to your first thoughts. Go back to that time where God called you, and you made that decision. You knew it was God's will for you. And that freshman year, when I was discouraged and were having all those second thoughts about being here at Hiles Anderson College, I said, okay, I know I should be here, and I know I'll be sorry if I leave, so God, I promise you I will graduate from Hiles Anderson College. I made God a promise. And for a while, that's the only thing that even kept me in college. Because I still didn't want to stay. I still didn't feel it. I was still having second thoughts, but I just made up my mind, I'm not going to do that. Some of you need to make that decision. Because unfortunately, there are people in this room, and I'm not talking about seniors, but I'm talking about underclassmen in this room, you won't be here next year. And you should be. But your second thoughts are going to cause you to think, you know, maybe I don't know. The third thing, and this is the last thing, and I think this is the most important. Your claim to salvation. What are we talking about there? Okay, how many of you are saved? Yeah, that's most of you. A few aren't raising your hand, but those are the ones I suspected. And you know, getting saved is the greatest event in life. I mean, think about that. You are passing from eternal death to eternal life. There is nothing more polar opposite than that. There is nothing possibly better than heaven. Nothing even comes close. And there is nothing possibly any worse than hell. You know, sometimes people say, I'm going through hell on earth. No, you're not. Now, you may be having it rough, but you're not even close to that. You have no idea. But when you got saved, you passed from death to life. Wow, what a great moment. Now God has you as his own forever. Thank you, Lord. But it's also, the day you got saved is also the day that Satan lost you forever. Now he can't change that. And he knows that. But he's going to try to mess you up about it. If he can get you to doubt what God did in your heart, he can't send you to hell, but he can hinder you and put a weight on you that makes you less effective for God. So don't be surprised when doubts come. You know, there are some people, and I don't disbelieve them, but there are some people who say, boy, the day I got saved was a wonderful day. I'll never forget it. And I've never doubted it one time. And that's great. And maybe that's a testimony of many of you. But a lot of times those cases are people who lived a life of sin. And they were obviously going the wrong way. And when God saved them, there was such a change in their life. It was just evident inside, outside, and all over. You know, we sing that song, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. It's kind of hard if you grew up in a Christian home to sing that song, isn't it? The things I used to do, what'd you used to do? Well, I used to watch cartoons all day Saturday. No! Oh, my soul, you heathen. Man, you needed salvation. What'd you do? I said stink one time. No! That's probably going to get bleeped out there. What? You profane. I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap. For most of us, the things I used to do, I still do them today. I mean, now, you say, yeah, there has been a great change inside your heart. A great change. The Holy Spirit now lives in there. That's a great change. So that's true. But as far as, for most of us, the things I used to do, my mom wouldn't let me do those things anyway, so, you know, not much change. And I think for that reason, and then a lot of times, people get saved when they're very, very young because you grew up in a Christian home, you hear the gospel all your life. And how many were saved when they were 4 or 5 years old? Okay. How many were saved 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? How many got saved as teenagers? Anybody in their 20s? Okay. How many are not saved yet? Anyway. All right. But most of us got saved when we were pretty young. If you grew up in a Christian home, you probably did get saved when you were young. And I think people like that tend to have more doubts. You hear somebody say, bless God, when I got saved, some guy that was a drunkard and a drug addict and everything, bless God, when I got saved, everything changed. Wow, I had a whole new outlook on life. It was great, and you're thinking, oh, when I got saved, we just went back to church that night. And, you know, wow. And if we're not careful, Satan will use that to make us think, are you really saved? I mean, look what happened to you. What changed? Well, not much. Maybe you didn't get saved. And if you're not careful, you'll start having second thoughts about your salvation. Many great Christians have doubted their salvation. And I think all of us have had some doubts about Christianity from time to time, because Satan likes to put those thoughts in our head. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Okay, there's something at the end of this chapter that's pretty famous. What is it called? The Great Commission. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. It's in the Gospels, the other Gospels, but in Matthew 28 is kind of the main one that we read and talk about. But I want you to notice we're not going to look at those verses. You know what those verses talk about. What's interesting is right before that happened, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Right before he gave them the Great Commission, let's look at verse 16 of Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, okay, was he there? Yes, they saw him. They worshiped him, but notice the next three words. But some doubted. Wait. Who are these that doubted? These are the 11 disciples. These aren't just people that were random in the streets. No, these were 11 disciples. And they saw him with their eyes. And some of them worshiped him. But some of them doubted. You think the ones that doubted weren't saved? No. That's just a human thing that happens to people. We have doubts. Now, some people doubt more than others. Some people worry a lot. Some people don't worry very much. Some people worry a lot. Some people worry about everything. What if this, you know, the fire. Oh, what if it's a real fire? What if it just happens to be at the same time that the alarm is going and we just all walk casually out and wah! And you laugh, but there's probably somebody that thought that. I actually thought that. Doubt is a natural thing. Now, I'm not saying it's okay to doubt, but we do. Some people say, boy, if you've ever had a doubt about your salvation, you're not saved. I'm sorry, but I don't believe that. Sometimes a preacher gets up and say, do you know that you know? And I'm not saying they shouldn't do that, but do you know that you're saved? Well, I know that I know that I know that I know, but I don't know that I know that I know that I know. I don't know it that much. Man, I must not be saved. A man came to Jesus for his son to be healed. And in Mark chapter 23, chapter 9, verse 23, the Bible says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Notice what he said after that. Help thou mine unbelief. Here was a guy that knew Jesus could heal. And he came to Jesus, Lord, please heal my son. And he said, do you believe I can do this? And with tears, this guy was sincere. Yes, Lord, I believe. But I have some doubts. Just be honest. I'm not 100% convinced, but I think he can, but boy, I just got some doubts. I mean, I can't just say, oh yeah, he's going to do it. I'm scared. Was he sincere? Of course he was sincere. By the way, Jesus healed his son. You know, you say, sometimes I just don't feel like I'm saved. First of all, let me ask you this question. How are you supposed to feel when you're saved? I don't mean the day you got saved. I mean the day you got saved, you know, yeah, oh, yeah, woo-hoo-hoo. I'm talking about 10 years after the day you got saved. How's a saved person supposed to feel as far as salvation? I'm not talking about what you think or what you believe. I'm talking about how you feel. How are you supposed to feel? You feel saved today? Yeah. Whatever that means. Now, we usually equate it with, God did something for me recently, or things are going well for me, or whatever, you know, God's blessed me. We kind of equate it with that, but what kind of feeling are you supposed to have that you're saved? There's not any. Assurance of salvation does not come from your feelings. It comes from God's word. Very familiar passage, 1 John 5:13. These things have I written to you that believe on the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. How do you know you have eternal life? Well, I just feel it. That's not how you know. Because there are days when I feel good, like, oh man, God's real. There's days when I feel like, oh, where are you? Feelings change. They go up and down. The Word of God does not change. And that's why your salvation needs to be based on the Scripture. And you ought to compare your salvation to the Scripture. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Did you hear God's word? Did you believe what God said about Jesus? Then what do you have? God says you have everlasting life. Can I be condemned to hell? God says, no, you can't be. And there are many, many verses that teach assurance of salvation. I like this, John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Did you come to Jesus for salvation? Did you go to Buddha? Did you go to Muhammad? Or did you go to Jesus? Jesus said, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. If you came to Jesus, did he cast you out? No way. Romans 10:9, that we use this for soul winning. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you believe in your heart that Jesus died for you on the cross and rose again? And did you call on him as your only hope for salvation? Did he keep his promise? Or did he lie to you? Now, you say, my problem is a little different. I don't remember anything about my salvation experience. I was really young. I remember being scared. I remember talking. And this is my story. Let me tell you my story. I remember being scared, wanting to be saved. I remember my mom talking to me. I remember when she was done talking to me, I felt better. That's it. I don't remember any part of it, none of it. Now, does that mean I didn't get saved? No. The truth of the matter is, I think I did get saved that day. But here's the problem. As I got older, in teenage years, I started having second thoughts. I found out the Romans Road and all of that, and I thought, yeah, did I do that? I mean, it doesn't have to be Romans Road, obviously, but did I? I'm sure I did. I mean, my parents wouldn't have told me the wrong thing, but I don't remember it. Well, for me, it caused me to worry and to doubt. Now, I'll be honest with you, I was one of these guys that worries. I jokingly said that about the firearm. That probably would have been me. I grew up worried about everything. I'm ashamed to admit it, but I didn't have any fingernails until after college. I bit my fingernails. I try not to do it in front of everybody. And I put on the fake long... Anyway. I didn't put them on. I went to the little place where they do them for you there. The little Chinese people. Anyway. Anyway. But I worried. I worried about everything. And I think that's one reason I probably worried more about my salvation. And my brother, my twin brother, he got saved about the same time I did. And I remember asking, you sure you're saved? Oh, yeah. And I just thought, well, I guess I'm just going to have to find out when I get to heaven, if I make it. And I spent years of my life worrying about it. Finally, when I came to Hiles Anderson College, and I still had doubts about it. And yesterday, March 11th, 1980, 45 years ago yesterday, I went to a room here in the college. I got out my Bible and I said, Lord, I'm settling this thing once and for all. I'm not going to, I think I was saved when eight, but I'm not going to take a chance, Lord. And I went through the plan of salvation and I said, Lord, I'm trusting you once and for all. This is it. I remember what I'm doing now. I know what I'm doing now. And the Bible I have right now is the Bible I had in college. In the back of this Bible, it says March 11th, 1980. I just wrote the initials SFG, which means settled for good. Trusted Jesus 100%. You say, have you had doubts since then? Yep. So you doing it again? Nope. So what do you do when you have the doubts? On March 11th, 1980, I did what God said. God cannot lie. So you say, but I'd be afraid to do that. I'd be afraid I would just, that was the Holy Spirit trying to convict me. The Holy Spirit's not going to convict you about if you're already saved. If you already did what God said, that's not the Holy Spirit convicting you. That's the devil trying to make you doubt. You don't have to entertain those thoughts. Just chase it away with the scriptures. It's kind of like this. Let's suppose you're watching the evening news. All of a sudden, this news headline. Flash. There is a murderer loose in the Crown Point area. He carries a big hatchet, and he kills people. But he doesn't want to make noise when he comes in because he doesn't want to wake people up. He likes to catch people by surprise, so he checks for doors that are unlocked. So if your door's locked, you got nothing to worry about. So I get in the bed, and I'm laying there starting to doze off, and I think, did I lock the front door? I mean, I always do, though. I mean, that's the first thing I do is I lock the door, and then I, you know, that's just my, that's my pattern. So I say, it's fine. But what if I didn't? But I always do. I mean, I always do. I mean, I've been doing this for years. Why would I forget now? It's fine. Now, I could do this. I could lay there all night and did I do? You know what the simplest thing would be to do? Get out of bed, go in there. Anyway. Now, there's some people, they worry so much, they would think, did I bump it when I walked away? Maybe when I turned it, my hand slipped off and slipped it back to the other. There's some people, some of you worry so much that you're going to have a hard time ever getting assurance of your salvation because you just worry about everything and you're paranoid, you know. But is the door locked? If you say, yes, it's locked, I remember. I remember it was on this date. And by the way, you don't have to know the date. But for your sake, there needs to be a... Now, you say, okay, I may get to heaven, and I think this is going to be true. I think when I get to heaven, I'll find out I got saved when I was 8 years old. With my mom talking to me. I really believe I got saved that day. But I was having too many second thoughts about it. I had to get it settled for me so I could just go on with life and not be hindered by that. Second thoughts. You having second thoughts about your call to service where God calls you into the ministry? You having second thoughts about coming to college here? That's normal. It's normal to have second thoughts about all those things. You having second thoughts about your salvation? That's normal. But the important thing is, what do you do with those second thoughts? You need to put them to rest because it's going to hinder you. Worst case scenario, you quit the ministry. You leave college. You just go around, I don't know if I'm saved, I don't care anymore. If God, you know, forget this whole thing. It's time to deal with your doubts and fears. Trust God and His Word. 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed, I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. God does the keeping for us. We just need to trust Him. One last verse here, Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Are you worried about? Are you having second thoughts? That's normal. It's time to trust the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you that you love us, Lord. You're not trying to trip us up or trick us. The devil is. God, help us to just trust you. Help us to take you at your word. Help us to believe your word. Help us to rely upon your word, Lord. Help us to do away with the second thoughts that will hinder us from accomplishing your will, please.